Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hi. So it's good to see all of you here today. We are continuing with our series in the book of 1 Samuel. So today we will look at a very well-known narrative, the story of David and Goliath. And our text is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 to 58. And the title is Faith Overcomes Overwhelming Odds. So it's a very long passage, so today we won't be reading the whole passage, but we will refer to some of the portion as we go through it, okay? So I encourage you to take time to read it again and to reflect on what God is speaking to us today as well. So let's pray before we continue. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you reveal yourself to us through your word. And as we explore this passage today, God, we pray that you help us see, Lord, what you are doing in the lives of David and even in Israel, and Lord, what you are doing in our lives, Lord. And teach us, Lord, how to put our trust, put our hope in you like David does, Lord, that his courage comes from his confidence in you, God. So speak to us today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just a bit of the background that of what is happening is the past few weeks we have been reading about how Saul has turned from a person who trusted the Lord to someone who disobeyed God. So even when after Samuel confronted him, Saul did not repent and he continued to do things his way. He was seeking for his own glory. And because of Saul's persistent pride and his disobedience, God rejected Saul. And God chose another man, a man after his own heart, which was David, to replace Saul as king. So in chapter 16, we saw that Samuel anointed David as king. But David was not immediately put on the throne as king of Israel. So Saul was still the king at that time. So in these next few chapters that we are reading, it is a time of transition of kingship from Saul to David. So in this passage that we are reading today, we will get to know David better. And how is he different in comparison to Saul? And why is he called a man after God's own heart? And we see how God is preparing him to be the king that would lead Israel and to represent God to his people. Okay. So the passage starts with Israel facing their enemies, the Philistines. So Israel has been in battles with the Ammonites, the Amalekites, the Philistines in the previous chapters. And each time God brings victory to them. So here Israel is facing the Philistines again. And once again, the Philistines had better prospect as compared to Israel. And the Philistines were defying the army of Israel. And Saul and the Israelites were intimidated. And they were in great fear. So we read in verses 4 onwards, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span, which is about 3 meters. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels, which is about 58 kilograms. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and his iron point weighed 600 shekels, about 6.9 kilograms. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So we read that this person named Goliath, he is a huge man and he's carrying great armor and weapons. And there he is standing, challenging Israel. So because of his great build, he was very arrogant. He thought that no one could ever defeat him. So he defied the armies of Israel. So in that, Saul and his army were very intimidated by Goliath, and they were dismayed. They were terrified. And the challenge went on for 40 days. Every morning and evening, Goliath would come and challenge Israel. He would taunt them. He would challenge them to fight, to fight a fight that they will not be able to win because he is so big, so great. And in verse 24, we see that the author is showing us that Israel is really terrified. You know, it says, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. So when we read this, it seems like Saul and Israel has forgotten that they worship and serve the living God who created the universe, who is able to do all things. They seem to have forgotten that it was the Lord who have brought them out, it brought victory to their previous battles, that God would be able to give them victory here as well. And as king of Israel, Saul should be seeking the Lord and representing him to Israel and the other nations. So Saul is supposed to be leading his people and showing them who God is and what God can do and what God will do for his people. But instead, he hid himself from Goliath. He hid himself from the Philistines. And he tried to even motivate and bribe other people to fight Goliath by offering wealth and status in verse 25. So the very thing that he should be doing to seek God, to trust in the Lord, he did not do. And instead, he did the opposite. He put his trust in wealth and status, and he wanted to use them to get what he wants. So in contrast to Saul and his army, David is introduced into the scene. So he is introduced as a person who is fearless, who is willing to fight the great Goliath. And when we read this here, David is a shepherd boy. He is still in his youth. He is not even old enough to be one of the soldiers. So he was too young. So but by divine appointment, he came to the battlefield. So he was following his father's instruction in bringing food to his elder brothers in the army camp. So David was there and he hears Goliath challenging and taunting the Israelites. So he got very angry because Goliath was defying Israel's army. And in doing that, Goliath is actually defying Israel's God as well. So in verse 26, David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills these Philistines and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So David was not only angry with Goliath, David was also upset with his fellow Israelites because no one was willing to stand up to Goliath. No one was doing anything to stand up for their God. So they allowed Goliath to defy Yahweh for 40 days and they did absolutely nothing. And the reason why they did nothing is because they were stricken with great fear. They were terrified by Goliath. But David, in contrast, he was not intimidated at all. He had no fear whatsoever. He saw Goliath as a man who is defying Yahweh, and he was zealous to defend the name of the Lord. So he could bear no more. He could not bear to let anyone, not even a huge, powerful man like Goliath, to defame Yahweh. So he knew that his God was with him, and he knew that his God would bring victory over the man who is insulting Israel and her God. So David was very confident that the Lord has delivered Israel in the past and he will deliver Israel if she seeks him. So his courage came from his love for God and his trust in God. And the Lord was with David. And David knew that the people around him recognized that as well. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "So Samuel took horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." And in verse 18, Saul was being tormented by an evil spirit and they were trying to find a solution. So one of the servants of Saul's answered him, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. And the Lord is with him." So that was the testimony that David carried. that the Lord was with him, and he was a brave man and a warrior. So David's courage came from the Lord. It came from knowing that the Lord was with him. While Saul and the Israelites, they were terrified because all they saw was a giant taunting and intimidating them. David was courageous because he realized that the Lord is in this battle, that the battle belongs to the Lord, like what it says in verse 47. So, and how he came to this realization is because as a shepherd, David saw how the Lord helped him and rescued him from lions and bears. So he recognized that his victories over the lions and the bears were from the Lord. He did not defeat them by his own. And similarly, he knew that the Lord will rescue him from Goliath and bring victory. So he knows that he does not need to defeat Goliath by his own strength. So verse 31, reading from verse 31. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. These uncircumcised Philistines will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." So David's courage did not come just suddenly. His experience as a shepherd boy prepared him to face Goliath courageously in trusting the Lord. So because David has developed his faith and trust in the Lord, David did not see Goliath as intimidating. He sees Goliath as a nuisance who was defaming the Lord. So he could not allow that to continue anymore. So if no one in the army is willing to go to stop Goliath, David says he will go. So God used David's shepherding days to prepare him for the things that he would face later. And God was using his task in taking care of the sheep, tending the sheep, protecting the sheep, to mold and to build David. His faith and his trust in the Lord grew when he was doing his routine, in his roles, in his everyday life. And God does that for us as well. God is preparing us, training us, building us through what we do daily. And many times we don't realize it until we face the Goliaths in our lives. But when we look back then, we realize, oh, God has prepared us for these challenges. He has been molding us. He has been nurturing us. He has helped us so that our faith and our trust in him grows, so that we can be courageous to face these challenges. And our common mistake is this, that we often like to focus on the big events in our lives, the major transitions, the big things. But we need to recognize that the Lord is working in us every single day. So the little things that we do every day matters. God is there with us in the conversations that we are having with a colleague. God is there with us when we are playing with our children. God is there with us when we send a text message to a person. God is there with us when we read a book. So we shouldn't despise our routine. We shouldn't despise the disciplines that we put in. And we shouldn't despise the little things we think we are doing in life. God is using all of this to help us grow in our faith and our trust in him. And what is interesting is how David went to fight Goliath. So we have already read in verses 4 onwards that Goliath is a huge man and he is with this great advanced armor and weapon. And then we see how David goes. He simply goes with a staff, 5 stones in his shepherd bag, and a sling. And it was such a great contrast that even Goliath felt insulted when he saw David. But in fact, Saul wanted to dress him up in his own tunic and armor, trying to give David the best to help him fight Goliath. But after trying them on, David refused to wear those things because he was not used to them. And it would be more of an obstruction than a help to David. So David went with what he was comfortable in, and that contrast shows the overwhelming odds David was facing in fighting Goliath. So he was the obvious underdog. And looking at the odds, no one, including his own brother, had faith in David. So we see when David came to the army, his eldest brother, Eliab, he got angry with him for coming and decides that David is conceited and he's wicked to come to watch the battle. And in verse 33, we see when he volunteers to fight Goliath, Saul doubted his ability. And verse 41 to 44, Goliath was offended that Israel sent David to fight him. Goliath was furious that they sent a boy, and Goliath despised and cursed David. But David, he knew that the Lord was with him. He knew that the Lord would bring victory. He went with confidence. He was without fear, and he was not bothered about the odds. And in fact, when we look at it, the overwhelming odds bears a powerful testimony that it was the Lord who delivered David and Israel from Goliath and the Philistines. So in response to Goliath's contempt and curse, David said to Goliath the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." So David had such overwhelming faith in the Lord because the Lord was with him. Both Jonathan and Saul had such faith as well in the Lord in their previous battles. And when they were convinced that the Lord was with them. But due to Saul's persistence, pride, and disobedience, the Lord has rejected him. And the Spirit of the Lord has departed from Saul. So Saul never repented, and he knew that the Lord was no longer with him. And in chapter 16, the departure of the Spirit of God, Saul was tormented by an evil spirit. So the absence of God brought constant pain and fear into Saul's life. He was fearful of the enemies, and he was fearful of losing his kingdom, and he was fearful of losing his popularity and his glory. So in the next few chapters, and we will also see how Saul gets jealous of David, and he wants to kill David because he is fearful that David is becoming more popular, and David would take his place. So Saul knew that the Lord had rejected him, but instead of returning to the Lord, out of fear, he tried to secure his position by his own means. So we need to realize that without God, without the Lord, fear controls us. We are intimidated by the challenges and oppositions we face because we know that when we don't have God in our lives, it haunts us. So we will not have peace, we will not have rest, we will not have joy. And we will always be in constant fear of what could happen to us. And we will be like Saul. We are tempted to hide. We are tempted to run away. And why all this fear exists is because we have no one to put our hope on except ourselves. So we are the only ones that can rescue ourselves. And the burden is very heavy for us to bear. So in facing Goliath, Saul and the Israelites saw this great opposition, and instead of looking to God, they look at their own ability, and they were overwhelmed. In comparison to Goliath, they were like grasshoppers to giants, like how the Israelite spies saw themselves as compared to the people in Canaan. So it is no wonder that they were intimidated and they were terrified. And on the other side, David saw the same overwhelming opposition, but he looked to the God who is greater than the opposition. He knew that he could put his hope in the Lord instead of his own abilities. So his faith, his courage was in the Lord, not in himself. And with God, even when the overwhelming challenge that we face don't change, our perspective change. We know that our faith is not in what we can do in those situations, but our trust, our hope is in the Lord. So we can be assured that God will see us through, that he will rescue us, that he will deliver us, and he will bring victory. So it doesn't matter how big our challenges are, because God is great. He is stronger, he's greater, he's the Almighty God. And one way to help us understand this is to look at young children. So for those of us who have young children, you will recognize that our children become more daring, more bold when the parents are around. So especially at the age when they start to explore, to do things by themselves, they go through a phase of learning confidence. So in psychology, we learn that in the presence of the caregiver, and usually the caregiver are the parents, the presence of the parents is vital in helping children gain confidence and feel secure. So when the child starts exploring, he or she will often look to the caregiver to see whether the caregiver is still there. So if the caregiver is consistently there and affirming them, the child's confidence grow and he or she become more secure. So the process continues until the child becomes very confident to do things by himself or by herself, because he or she knows that the caregiver will be there, or if they leave, they will return. So that's how the child's confidence grow. And children with secure attachment, they face challenges better. When they grow up, they are more adaptable and they cope better in life. So we as adults, we are the same with our Heavenly Father as well. So we also go through a phase of learning to be courageous and to trust in God. We learn to be confident when we know God is here with us and he is watching over us. We learn to trust that God will come to our aid when we need him. And this process continues until we become absolutely confident that God does not leave us, he does not forsake us, and he is constantly looking out for us. And then we can learn to be courageous. We can learn to put our trust in God. And we know that God is the perfect caregiver. He is our perfect caregiver. So he is always there. He is always listening. He is always helping. It is us who needs to learn to look to him. It is us who needs to learn to be aware of his presence and what he is doing in our lives. And sad to say, most of the times, instead of looking towards God, seeking him and waiting on him, we rather do things our way. And when we do so, we don't learn to be confident and courageous in trusting the Lord. And at the end of this narrative, we know that the Lord brought victory to David and Israel. The Lord used David to kill Goliath, and in that, the Israelites managed to chase after the Philistines, and they win the battle against the Philistines. And in his death and resurrection, Jesus has won the victory for all our battles. So Romans chapter 8 verses 1 to 2 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." And in verses 10 to 11, "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 to 57, The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are no longer victims of sin, we are victorious in Christ. He delivers us from evil, and He promises to be with us at all times. So how overwhelming our circumstances may seem, we can be assured that God is with us, and that He gives us victory because of what Christ has done. You know, when Peter was walking on water with Jesus and he started to sink, Jesus told Peter to put his eyes on Jesus, and then Peter stopped sinking. And that is what we are called to do, put our eyes on Jesus. In his final days, the Apostle Paul was in prison for his faith. He was in suffering. He was missing the fellowship of the church. He was facing persecution from those who were inside and outside the church. He was facing martyrdom for his faith in Christ. And he was really facing overwhelming challenges at that time. And even the church was worried for him. But he was able to continue to speak about Christ, about love, about peace, about joy and hope. His confidence, his courage came from the assurance that Christ was with him. Rather than being overwhelmed by his situation, Paul's focus was on Christ, and his eyes were on the one who died and rescued and delivered him from his greatest enemy, which is sin. So Paul knew that the Lord was with him and the Lord would deliver him. And because of that confidence and faith in Christ, Paul can say that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 to 10, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And in Philippians chapter 4, 13, he says, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." So let's look to the Lord in prayer. The Lord is with each of us. We just let us learn to be aware and to be sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in us. He is working in us. And let us learn to allow him to work in us through our daily routines. Let us learn not to despise the little things that we do every day. And let us pray for courage that comes from our faith in the Lord, knowing that he is with us. So in whatever situation we are in, however overwhelming the odds are, we know that our God is greater, our God is stronger. We have God on our side, and we can put our hope in him. And Jesus calls all who are weary to him. We can lay our burdens at his feet. We can be assured that Christ has won this victory. And through him, we can do all things. So as we look to the Lord in prayer, I do want to encourage you to not be afraid or to be shy, and to join us in prayer, to pray with courage, to pray with faith. That's what we are learning today. We know that God delights in listening to the prayers of his people. So let us come and pray in unity for each other from our nation. So let's look to the Lord. Father, we want to thank you, God, that through your sacrifice on the cross, the Holy Spirit is with us. That now we have you with us at all times. And we thank you for that comfort. We thank you for that assurance. We thank you for that strength, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you teach us to be aware, to be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to the whisper, to the revelation, to the things that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. I pray that you open our hearts, open our minds, open our spiritual eyes, Lord, to see things through your lens. And God, I pray, Lord, that we will learn, Lord, to enjoy the Holy Spirit and to, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, Lord, but to spend time to speak, to listen, Lord. And God, I also pray, Lord, that you will teach us, Lord, that in our daily life, that we will be sensitive to what we are doing, to allow you, Lord, to mold us, to change us, to build us, to make us into what you want us to be, Lord, to be the person that you have called us to be more like you, to be able to represent you in wherever we are, God. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you have all called us. You have called us all to serve you, to worship you, to be your representative, Lord. God, I pray that you help us be aware of that and to be aware of what you call us to do, God. And God, I pray, Lord, for especially the times that we face challenges, that we will have courage, not in ourselves, not in our abilities to face these things, God. But Lord, because of who you are, because of your presence with us, because of what you have done for us. And when we reflect, when we look at you, God, we can be so assured that you have the victory, that you will see us through, that you will deliver us. And we thank you for that. So God, I pray, Lord, that you teach each of us to sit in your presence, to reflect on who you are, that we will be confident in who you are and what you're doing, that our faith will be strengthened, that we will be courageous because of who you are, God. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that through you, we have victory. Through you, we can do all things because you are the one who strengthens us, Lord. You are the one who has done it all. And we want to seek you. We want to look to you. We want to learn, Lord, to depend on you fully, God. So teach us, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you and want to thank you for your presence and we want to thank you for your word. Dear Lord, we pray that you would just lead us, Lord, this very moment to meditate on the whole subject of courage, dear Lord. Dear Lord, the courage that comes from knowing you, the courage that comes, Lord, from understanding your victory, dear Lord, the courage that comes from understanding the inheritance that we have in you, dear Lord, that we are your body, that we are the city on the hill, that we are the salt and light, Lord, of this world. Dear Lord, we pray, Lord Father, that we will learn to allow our faith, Lord, to be expressed through courage, dear Lord, Father. Dear Lord, we pray that we will be able, Lord, Father, to speak, to share with great wisdom and understanding. That you would train us, dear Lord, to be witnesses of your victory, dear Lord, of your goodness. Dear Lord, we pray also, Lord Father, that, that we will understand, dear God, that in your presence, that as we look to your promises, dear Lord, as we rest in your love, Lord, you will deal with our fears, dear God. You will remove fear, Lord. You will bring peace and courage, dear God. As we learn to put our faith in you, Lord, you will, Lord, dispel, Lord, Father, the worries and fears, Lord, that stop us, Lord, Father, from pursuing you. Dear Lord, we also pray, Lord, Father, that we will also consider all the things that intimidate us, dear Lord. Dear Lord, like Goliath, there are so many things in this world that is big and powerful, very influential, very loudly, Lord. It's far more, Lord, than anyone can handle, dear Lord. And there are many people who fear, Lord, these things and subject themselves, Lord, to these powers. But we pray, Lord Father, we will not be like that, that we will recognize you, Jesus, as the King of Kings and Lord of all, that we will recognize you as the one who is sovereign and rules over all things, dear Lord. And dear Lord, we just pray, Lord Father, that there will be breakthrough and deliverance, Lord, from any forms of intimidation, dear Lord. Dear Lord, yes, we are nothing much and we don't have much, Lord. But when you are with us, Lord, everything changes. And when we stand with you, Lord Father, dear Lord, there is so much that we can do in your name through your grace, dear Lord. So, Lord, I just pray even this very moment that you heal, Lord, us from the intimidation that comes, Lord, from these challenges, from words that are spoken over us, from failures of the past, dear Lord. We pray, Lord Father, that you would heal us and set us free, that you would guide us, Lord Father, and teach us how to stand in firmly, Lord, believing in you, knowing, Lord, of your presence, of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. We thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. We look to you, Lord Father, for this country. We pray, Lord Father, for the economic situation. Dear Lord, we know that many have been affected because of this pandemic, and we pray, Lord Father, that you would grant, Lord, wisdom and compassion, Lord, to leaders and to people, Lord, to thoughtfully, Lord Father, care, Lord, for those who are affected, those who are in need, dear Lord. We pray, Lord, that you grant mercy and grace, Lord Father, so that we will be able, Lord, to go through this, Lord, trusting in you, Lord, and allowing your goodness and your compassion, Lord Father, to be seen in our lives. Dear Lord, we pray that you continue to open doors for the church to help those who are in need, to be sensitive, Lord Father, to the situations, and to be a prophetic voice, Lord, of representing you, Lord, in this given situation. Dear Lord, we also pray for our political situation. We just pray that with all this talking about the election coming and all these things that are happening, Lord Father, we do look to you, Lord Father, and seek your face, Lord, for godly leadership over this nation, for the doors to be opened, dear Lord, for the gospel to be preached, for, Lord, leadership, Lord, that will stir unity, Lord, and justice and compassion, dear Lord. Dear Lord, also we pray the churches, Lord, even our church, Lord, will continue, Lord, to exemplify, Lord, the unity that is found in you, Lord Jesus, that this unity will break down racial barriers, class barriers, dear Lord, social barriers, whatever it is, Lord Father. Dear Lord, that we'll be able to express your love, Lord, in a way that unites all people, Lord, in your name, dear God. So, Lord, also specifically our church, Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to have that conversation, to show that love, that care, to embrace, Lord, people from all walks of life, dear Lord. We pray, Lord Father, that we can stir, Lord, that you give us a grace to stir such thinking and be an example, Lord, in this, in our workplaces, in our schools, Lord, in our neighborhoods. Dear Lord, we know, Lord Father, that you have put us here for that purpose, that we are salt and light. So we pray, Lord Father, that we will seize, Lord, every opportunity in our everyday life, Lord Father, to hear your voice, Lord, and make that difference. Father, continue to be with those in the workplace. Dear Lord, even the economic situation has put a lot of pressure, Lord, for people to do more, to perform, Lord Father. And I just pray that you encourage them, that you grant them grace, dear Lord Father, that you grant them all the resources they need, Lord, to face the challenges, Lord, that are rising. Dear Lord, even as we heard today, Lord, in you, there is victory and you are greater, dear Lord. and you can do, Lord, all things because you are God. And so I pray in this given situations, Lord, that none will lose heart, but more of us will pray, more of us will look to you, more of us will rest in you, dear Lord. Continue to bless your people. Continue to grant us peace of heart, dear Lord, confidence, Lord, knowing that it is you who are our shepherd and you will see us through, Lord, this season. We thank you, Lord, Father. We give you all glory and honor. May your blessings be upon each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.